sitting.
I have been introduced quite unnecessarily because most of you know me, most of you by reputation. Yes, I serve as an elder in this church in District 3 and 6, but what I would like to be known as is the lawyer who is born again, a lawyer who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, a lawyer who has put his trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is who I am. I'm married to Mary, who is sitting in the congregation. Mary, please stand up and wave your friends. There she is. The guest who stood up as visiting for the first time is my sister-in-law, Ruth Wairimu. Wairimu, please stand up again and wave your friends. She has obeyed Donald Trump's order for all immigrants to return home. And after 21 years in that foreign land, she has returned to her homeland, singing the national anthem. Give claps to her. Yes, I have a few minutes to share with you the gospel of Christ. A few minutes when I can say very little, but a few minutes when I can say one word from the Spirit of God, and it makes a transformation in my own life and in yours as well. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we declare our trust and dependence on you this morning, thanking you for gathering us in this house called by your name. You have not called us in vain. You have come, called us here to share in the bread of Jesus Christ. Come, Father, and use me to speak the truth to these your children. And that truth, which is Jesus Christ, may it transform them. May this day be a memorable day for them and for myself. And that, Father, we no longer be the same when you speak to us the message of justice, peace, and reconciliation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. It's a tough subject, justice, peace, and reconciliation, but it is very well summarized at the front page of the bulletin, which I would like us to read together in 1 minute. Justice, Peace, and Reconciliation Committee is an arm of the Presbyterian Church of East Africa, founded under Article 9 of the Declaration of the Fundamental Principles of the Church, that deals with issues concerning the right to means of existence, stewardship of creation, leadership, and issues to do with human justice. This year, our theme is drawn from Isaiah 30:18, that God is gracious, compassionate, and just. As we look through the state of the Kenyan nation, our key concern is, will the anchor hold? As Presbyterian Christians, are we doing enough? Are we guilty of the sins of omission and commission? Are we hearing the woods of fanning tribal hatred? What is our role as the church in bringing about peace, justice, and reconciliation? God continues to assure us that despite all that this nation is going through, He is a just God, and there is hope that the anchor will continue to hold. Amen. I didn't write it. It was written by Reverend Washira, who is the chaplain of JSPRC, and it's an accurate summary of what we are up against as Christians and as Presbyterians. I start by saying that each one of you seated in the congregation and who come here every Sunday for a whole year, you gather for yourself certain fears, certain anxieties, certain concerns about what is going on in the country. If you are like me, you are concerned about what is going on in the political arena. We have just emerged from a very painful election period, the longest election period we ever been through since independence. As it comes to an end, all of you gathered some feelings of dissatisfaction, some feelings that things should have happened differently, some feelings that the elections were stolen, some feelings that the elections were genuinely won, and some feeling that what is in the future? Are we likely to hold fair elections going forward? Or will the election periods be a cycle of 5 years? 5 years of tear gas, a cycle of 5 years of death and destruction, 5 years when we witness burning of houses, burning of tires, death and injuries. If you are like me, you are concerned about that. You are concerned that our children may be inheriting a country of violence. You are concerned that the young people we have today in Kenya have adopted an attitude of violence. Where have they got it from? Where are our young people getting this notion that the way to deal with matrimonial problems at home is to eliminate the entire family, kill the wife, kill the children, and then kill yourself? Where has this come from? If you are like me, you are concerned about that growing trend of killings in the families. And when you look at the age groups, we are talking about very young people, newly married, with very young children. Where did this idea of committing such atrocities in the families? This is a concern. You have that fear, I have that fear, I have that anxiety. If you look at our education system, it is undergoing reforms, or so we are told. Reforms that involve introduction of free education at primary level and high school level. What are the consequences of this free education? Are they the consequences that we have experienced last year of children experiencing mass failures in KCSE? And this year, 2018, we are dealing with a situation of about 500,000 students from Form 4s who did not make the cut of C plus and above so that they gain entry into the universities. You must be concerned, just like I am, about what will happen to these 500,000 children who are not going to progress their careers into universities. What lives are they going to take? What attitudes will they bring at home? Will they take to the workplace? Will they listen to the gospel of Christ, which tells us that you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself? How will love thy neighbor be practiced in circumstances where 500,000 children drop out from high school because they have failed? Where will they go? Will they go into a life of crime or other antisocial behavior? Is that the generation we want to grow up or to leave behind? No doubt you're also concerned about matter security. Crime is going on unabated in our country. I will not go to details because all of you know. Many unresolved murders, many unresolved crimes of theft of public resources. No doubt you are concerned at the level of corruption that we have sunk into. I'm talking about corruption by other people out there, certainly not members of St. Andrew's Church. Because we are holy. We are going to heaven, aren't we? So we can't give bribes to the police as we pass along. We don't bribe at the immigration department. We don't bribe at the lands office. They are the people, not us. Those children, 500,000 of them, are children of other people, not this aging population of St. Andrews. It is somebody else out there. Is that the attitude that we are taking about corruption, about education, about security, about the environment? Because this week, as JPRC, we are learning matters to do with environmental justice. What are the atrocities that we have committed against our environment, against our air, our water, our general environment? Recently, we banned plastic papers. But if I stood at that entrance and searched every handbag, promise me that I will not find plastic. If I search those cars, very expensive cars parked outside there, promise me I will not find plastic. Whom have we become? Whom are we becoming for ourselves and our children? Yes, I will not say more, because if I continue, I'll be painting a hopeless picture. If I say we are in trouble, I'm not exaggerating. If I say that our economy is suffering because of certain activities you know very well, I will not be exaggerating. The picture is grim. What to do from here? You can ask, like young people say, so what? Yes, you can take the attitude that it has nothing to do with you, but you can also choose to be a participant in rectifying the situation. The situation is grim. Let's not pretend about it. I have heard some talk in the marketplace, people saying the solution is dialogue, national dialogue. Maybe it is. But it's not national dialogue every 5 years. It is national dialogue continuously, whether we are in election mode or out of election mode. That's the way to deal with security, education, environment, economy, and such things. We should not call for national dialogue just because we have won the elections or lost them. We should call for national dialogue continuously, because the good book tells us, come, let us reason together. And this is the message that each one of you should have. We need to get together and reason out. JPRC, the Justice, Peace and Reconciliation Committee, is an effort by the Presbyterian Church of East Africa. It was passed by the General Assembly, the 14th General Assembly, around 1994-1995. Having seen what was happening then, those ones who are older will remember what was happening in 94-95. There was a clamor for constitutional change. There was a clamor for multi-party democracy. And the church responded by forming Justice and Peace and Reconciliation Committee, which runs through from the top court, which is the General Assembly, to the lowest court, which is the local church. The entire structure is laid out in PMP chapter 26, and then the objectives are set out in chapter 16. I know I'm talking to people who have never seen practice and procedure manual, and they say they are Presbyterians. You better buy that book, read it, criticize it, and especially look at the JPRC chapter. See what role is defined in there for JPRC. Then ask yourself, with such a clear provision in our constitution, why has the church been quiet? Why haven't we been heard when matters, critical matters to do with education, with health, with security, are going from bad to worse? That structure is what we are trying to activate now through the newly reloaded JPRC committee. And all of you, each one of you who is looking at me now, is a member of that committee. Have I recruited? All of you are members of that committee. Do not say it belongs to others. Because what are you yourself doing? You must play a part in addressing these issues. As a lawyer, I'm sometimes cornered in the paved area by a concerned congregant saying, Bwana Wakili, unaona kunaendaje kwa siasa. So I have to speak, think quickly what to tell them because I also don't know. But I'm supposed to give an intelligent response to a very concerned citizen. JEPRC is supposed to answer that question upfront without waiting to be asked. We have read, before my time is up, let me talk scripture. Because we have read Isaiah. And Isaiah is a good book to read. In chapter 30, the one we have read, Judah, the king of Judah, was confronted with a situation not much different than the one we are confronted with in Kenya today. Except that his problem was as his country was at the threat of external invasion. And Judah, being a small country, felt completely overwhelmed by the threat of attack from a foreign pagan country. And the king of Judah that time, thinking as hard as he could, consulting with his military people and his diplomats, decided the best way to deal with the threat was to forge alliances with other countries more powerful than Judah. You know, when we were in high school, as a small boy, I kept the company of the stronger boys because they would fight my battles for me. I'm sure in your life, at some place, you have stayed closer to stronger people so that they can defend you in your weaknesses. The king of Judah sized himself up and said, no, this battle, I can't fight it by myself. I'll look around and enlist the support and collaboration of a neighboring country. The king approached Egypt, of all the countries, to support him, to become his ally in the fight against the threat. That is what the king of Judah did. Egypt was a very big power then. It still is a very big power in the Middle East today. They don't like to be said they're in Africa. They like to associate themselves with the more prosperous Islamic states across the seas. So they are powerful people to align yourself with. The problem is they are heathen believers. They believe in many gods. And you know the story of Israel being redeemed and taken away from Egypt after many years of slavery and being brought into the promised land. The king of Judah forgot the redemption journey and traced his steps back to where God had taken them from, thereby offending God, because nothing offends God. Nothing offends God than idolatry. He burns with rage when we glorify other gods. So the king of Judah, despite the history and the heritage that he knew Israel enjoyed, he chose his collaborator as Egypt, thereby separating himself with the God the Redeemer, the God the Creator. And that is why our theme during this JPRC weekend Sunday is drawn from verse 18, which has been read very well, but which I'll read again because I want to bring it into greater perspective. Isaiah 30. Verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. That is what prophet Isaiah is telling the king and the people of Israel and Judah at that time. At a time when they are forging alliances, at a time when they are running away from God, he is telling them, despite your choice of other gods, despite your iniquities and your detestable actions, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Where do we go when you are in trouble like we are in Kenya today? The first place we go is the self. That's the first idol that we turn to. We elevate ourselves to become legal analysts and professional commentators and political analysts. We elevate ourselves and say, yes, we can do it. We become the first idol instead of turning to this gracious and compassionate God. And we have the help of very many inspirational speakers who come and tell us that you as an individual, you are whole and self-contained. You can do anything you want in your life and be successful. And they can talk for hours, telling you how powerful you are, how you can achieve great things. They inspire you, they empower you, but they don't mention God anywhere. They glorify you as the person. They create a God in you who is just the pot, not the potter. The created, not the creator. So our disaster in Kenya will remain worse and worsen up if we choose to follow the self as idol number one. And think about yourself seated in this church today. In which ways have you played God? In which ways have you subordinated God, the Creator, and elevated yourself as the person with a solution in the education sector, in the justice sector, in the legislative sector, in all these places where things are moving from bad to worse? We are guilty of a terrible sin of creating the ego man, the fallen man, the human nature, as the solution to our problem. From there, when we have failed to satisfy ourselves as an ego, we go to political leaders. We go to political parties. We go to our political collaborators and think that our solution lies there. And our problem just multiplies instead of getting worse. I'm saying multiplies, but something rather nice has happened in Africa this past month, because in Zimbabwe, without bloodshed, we had a bloodless coup. The Zimbabweans rediscovered themselves and had to get over with the government of President Mugabe. So it can be done without burning tires, without burning houses, and without going into violence. We have an example. For a long time, Zimbabwe was a bad example. God is turning it into a good example of change. We have another example down in South Africa. This past week, we saw another bloodless coup happening within a political party. Again, God working to show that if it is genuine change that you want, he can bring it without shedding of blood and without dividing the country into this region or that region and without cessation or even talk of cessation. So God can work with the institutions that we have to create a new just and prosperous society if we let him do it, if we don't create idols around ourselves. Evil prospers in any society when good people do nothing about it. What have I just said? Evil prospers in a society when good people do nothing. Evil is multiplying in Kenya today, although we are 80% Christians, because Christians do nothing about it. I'm not going to talk about sexual immorality today because my time is running out. But it is prospering today. It is moving from polygamy, which we can deal with easily, and it is moving into homosexuality, into lesbianism, into marriages of a man to a man and a woman to a woman. If God brought fire and sulfur into those ancient cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, why has he spared our country? We should have burnt last year. We should be burning today or tomorrow because we are worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. The church is quiet because the church sees no evil and hears no evil and does no evil. Evil prospers when good people do nothing. JPRC is a vehicle that we can all use as a congregation to make our voice heard in these dark places in our society. Instead of writing in the newspapers, instead of going to the media and giving negative stories and showing like the anchor will never hold in Kenya or the anchor has already dropped in Kenya, it is time to give people hope. To give people hope by showing them how dark the country is, yes, but also telling them we can all turn to God. We can all turn to God to give us solutions to these many complicated problems. The role of GAPRC is to provide an avenue, a mouthpiece, which each one of you can use to orchestrate what you consider to be the solution to the existing problem. But you must accept there is a problem to start with. A sick person must accept they are sick before they go to see a doctor. Are we sick? Is it in agreement that we are sick and that we need to see a doctor? Our doctor is the great physician, Jesus Christ. He commands us to love our God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is our function. You cannot be loving your neighbor when you're burning up his house, or you are writing negative stories about them in the nation newspaper. You cannot be loving your neighbor when you say you belong to a superior tribe and you look down to another tribe. Who made you the judge of the good and the bad? God looks at us from heaven and sees foolishness in the way we have divided the country into that tribe, into that region, into this region. This week I had a fantastic suggestion that the way to fight tribalism in Kenya is to cancel all the existing boundaries, all the existing county boundaries. Cancel all of them because they were brought here by a colonialist who wanted to divide and rule our country, and so many years after independence, we are still following those tribal boundaries. So the suggestion is we cancel all of them, we look at Kenya as a clean, boundaryless country, and then we slice it according to how we want it to land. Maybe from top to bottom and from across to across without any regard to whomever lives there, and we probably will have one United Country. It's an outrageous suggestion. But that person was thinking as hard as they could to solve what he sees to be a serious tribalism problem in our country. Are you thinking? Bring your suggestions. Let them be outrageous. We will deal with them. We will moderate it through the church office and get a solution that fits our place. People want a free country. People also want to be free themselves. And they have defined in the Bill of Rights what kind of rights they want and what kind of freedoms they want. They are written there in a beautiful way. And they are repeated in PNP, chapter 16. It means that we are united into what we want to do in a free and prosperous country. But the price of democracy is eternal vigilance. Every day, your neighbor is eating a little bit of your freedom. Every day, you are eating your neighbors a little bit of freedom. And if your neighbor doesn't wake up soon enough to realize what you are doing, he will have no freedoms. So we must be eternally vigilant about what we are entitled to. Otherwise, other people will steal it from us. Will you go to foreigners to look for solutions to our problems? Are you sure you are not going back to Egypt like the king of Judah? We are being called to come back to God, to believe in him, to trust in him, and when you pray like somebody who knows what their freedoms are, your rights are, not given by the state, not given by the constitution, but given by God himself. When he created Adam and Eve at the garden, he gave them all the freedoms which you are now writing down. He gave them those and many more. So tell your neighbor, the freedoms and rights come from God. And then we touch on the book of Titus as I sit down. Titus is being counseled, mentored by Paul. And he's being taught like we are being taught today, that we must teach people about God's grace, the grace of Jesus Christ, the one which Isaiah talked about, that God wants to be gracious to us. He wants to be compassionate to us. Paul in the New Testament is teaching his mentee that you teach people about the grace of God. The grace of God is freely given. It is given to undeserving people, people who deserve the worst from God's wrath. But that grace is freely given. So your access to God is available through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And I say, as I now sit down completely, I've been sitting down for long. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? If you don't, you are going to be looking for solutions to the problems where you will not find them. The entire exercise of JPRC is to lead people to Christ. Because if in Christ you will find your freedom fulfilled, you'll find your rights fulfilled, you will find joy, you'll find everlasting happiness. That is God's idea of justice, peace, and reconciliation. God's peace and justice, they are very different from your idea of peace, justice, and reconciliation. God's justice is a justice which tells you, although you are guilty, you are now not guilty. Although you deserve death and destruction, you deserve restoration, deliverance, and salvation. That is God's justice. It's different from the human justice who says an eye for an eye, or a child who defined it here, saying when somebody does something wrong, he is punished for it. That's the human interpretation of justice. But God's idea of justice the one which Isaiah talks about, saying that the Lord is a God of justice, is a God who says, you deserve the worst, but I'm offering you the very best. Complete redemption from your sins and hope of eternal life. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.